And that's what this job is all about. Experienced people showing the younger people, you know, how it's done and how things should be done.
If you don't like who's running for office, write somebody's name in or write your own name in.
When you do something like this, it lasts for decades.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, Springfield, Massachusetts gets a permanent police commissioner, a longtime member of the force. We meet the mayoral challenger in North Adams, Mass., and a new mural in Troy, New York celebrates the Collar City's history. Well, the word acting was recently removed from the job title of Cheryl Claprud. The veteran cop is now the police commissioner in Springfield, Massachusetts. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill reports.
The 40-year veteran of the Springfield Police was abruptly put in charge at a critical time in the 400-member department's history.
Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you very much for being here. I want to, first of all...
Claprud's appointment as acting commissioner was announced by Mayor Dominic Sarno at a hastily called news conference in City Hall on February 20th, 2018.
I've accepted the retirement of Police Commissioner John Barbieri today.
Her predecessor was out suddenly after 4 years as commissioner. The department had been rocked by several headline-grabbing misconduct allegations. There were investigations underway by the U.S. Justice Department and the Massachusetts Attorney General's office. Standing next to the mayor, Claprud vowed to restore the reputation of the Springfield Police Department.
And I'm just going to stress to the officers that I'm going to demand accountability. And if somebody goes rogue or does something wrong, they will be held accountable.
To show she was serious about not tolerating rogue behavior, the new acting commissioner fired a police officer who had been indicted on multiple criminal charges, including child rape, but had been allowed to remain on the force on leave since December 2017. Claprud made changes in how the department handles reports of officer misconduct and put a new captain in charge of internal investigations who reports directly to the commissioner. Since taking over, Claprud has made it a priority to fill supervisory spots in the department, believing it will restore discipline and pride within the ranks and restore public confidence. Claprud has promoted 5 sergeants, 4 lieutenants, 2 captains, and a deputy chief. She's taken steps to eventually outfit all the city's police officers with body-worn cameras, something city councilors have demanded for years. 7 months to the day after Sarno put her in charge of the department, he announced her permanent appointment as commissioner with a 4-year contract.
She has brought back stability and confidence to the department.
Sarno said he saw no need to conduct a nationwide search for a police commissioner.
No. I brought her on well over 6 months ago. She has done an exemplary job. She has been well received in the our public and by our residents and our business community and respected. And the same thing with the rank and file.
In an interview, Claprud said her plans are to continue what she started when she was suddenly put in charge.
6 months ago, I started with what I thought the mayor wanted, the direction the department to go in. And we have a lot of programs that are 2/3 of the way through or almost cultivating. So I want to keep doing those things. I know my biggest problem is personnel, manpower.
To fill vacancies on the force caused by a spike in retirements, Claprud said her goal is to recruit 50 people to enroll in the next police academy and to persuade more veteran patrol officers to apply for promotions.
And that's what this job is all about. Experienced people showing the younger people, you know, how it's done and how things should be done. And when you lose that, it really hurts the organizations.
Claprud says she's been working with the police unions to put counseling programs in place to reduce stress and improve morale.
I think we're okay, and I think we'll be good.
A formal swearing-in ceremony for Claprud is planned next week. Reporting from Springfield, this is Paul Tuthill, the WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau, on the campus of Western New England University.
Staying in Massachusetts now, community activist Rachel Branch is the sole challenger to North Adams Mayor Tom Bernard, who's seeking a second term in November. Branch's family has a long political history in the city. She says her step-great-grandfather was its first mayor, Her great uncle held the seat in the 1920s, and her father was city council president. Branch sat down with WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes to talk about why she's running, what issues are close to her heart, and her personal history in Northern Berkshire County's largest community.
I think it's really important to be a public servant and do whatever you can. Part of it is hoping other women would run for office and hoping to break up patriarchal systems that and women that support it. The fact, which is a little unusual, that only one other woman has run for mayor in 1983. Since 1895, I believe in women's equality, equal opportunity, employment. We do not have women. The numbers that we should have, what are we, 52% of the population? We don't have them in our city, state, and federal offices. So that is, it is one more avenue for me to stand up.
So yeah, as far as like on an issue-by-issue basis, you talked about like, you know, trying to like counteract a patriarchal system, representing women. Yeah. You know, what else is involved? Like if you were in the corner office, what would you like to see happen?
If, you know, I sent you my announcement, it always starts with what are we doing for a child today? And if you start there, you can go out to every other system. You can go out to education, housing. You know, I've been a Fair Housing Commissioner. I've been a North Adams Housing Authority Commissioner. I've been on the McCann. It was amazing. I got elected to the McCann Northern Berkshire Vocational Regional School District School Committee because I said at the time, if you don't like who's running for office, write somebody's name in or write your own name in. And on election day, I did. I wrote my own name and I was elected with 9 votes. I care very much about education. I'm very concerned about what's going on in this country today. So I just think when you have a background, when you have a huge background, hopefully you can use every gift that you have. And I believe in people being able to use their gifts and would hope to inspire people to reach their potential, and I believe that particularly in the education system that we should be educating young people so that they reach their potential, have every tool that they need to reach their potential.
So as far as like you know, other big issues in the city, like you know the crime rate, opioids.
Oh, that is huge. That is huge. And that has affected my family, alcoholism and drugs, and I can tell you lots of stories, but it's a hitting city, state, nationally, internationally. It is a horror show. And the last time when we did Greylock Works, we did a forum where every candidate was asked, and one of the questions I was asked is, what would you do about that? And the first thing I would do is clean out the drug dealers. And I think you have to start with children, very young, age appropriate, and say it's, and this is one of the things I said at the time, it is all right to have a natural high. And, of course, as you know, the most meaningful thing that I did in my life was become a respite foster care parent or grandparent, I guess, for children who had been traumatized by violence or sexually assaulted. And that, I mean, my heart weeps, my soul weeps thinking about the children that need care, the children in our foster care system, the lack of a lot of people in elected positions who are, I believe, are not doing the work. And also, part of it is, I don't believe anybody should be unopposed, and this is happening a lot, even in Massachusetts, that people who are running for office are not, they don't have any opposition, and that's not healthy.
So as far as like Mayor Bernard specifically, like in the sense that he is your opponent in this race, is there anything about the way he has conducted himself in office or his policies that you would do differently or find disagreement with?
Well, I said that in my campaign announcement. I was very concerned about what happened to the columns on Marshall Street. I'm very concerned about not just this mayor, but I'm very concerned about the infrastructure needs. You just have to address them. And, you know, part of it will be, how do you find the money to do this? But you just cannot keep kicking the can down the road and thinking, well, the next person can take care of that. So that is
That is an issue that's very important. Obviously, another area that I've worked in, this again goes back to what are you doing for a child today, or what are we doing for a child today? You go back, I have fought climate since 1997. I helped stop two asphalt plants in Bridgeport, Connecticut, where I lived for 23 years. I think I loved Bridgeport because it was like a giant North Adams to me, a manufacturing town, a mill town, hardworking, everyday people. And I lived in the South End, and we stopped that. I then testified in Hartford three times to clean up the power plants. We did that. And just a little side story, Josh, when we were fighting the power plants, one of the groups that I was working with said, Rachel, we want you to get a bunch of people and come up on a bus to Hartford. I said, don't you understand? These people cannot take off work. You know, those who are, you know, here we go, income inequality. People who are struggling just to pay rent, pay housing, take care of their families, working two and three jobs. And so I said, we need to do a petition, and we did a petition. So when I testified in Hartford, and I testified three times in the early 2000s, I said, I am standing here with 456 people standing next to me. And, of course, eventually we won that. And then I helped fight Kinder Morgan successfully. And with my show, got my show across the state. I don't know how many, over 20, 27 stations maybe. And I did 30 shows on fighting Kinder Morgan, Tennessee Gas, another successful fight. I do think many people don't realize that these are lifetime commitments. You don't win a battle and then it's over. And much to my great sadness, now there is a giant gas plant right in my South End neighborhood that I absolutely love, and I am still fighting down there, PSEG, and it just recently opened. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, it is another area that's created an incinerator zone. And there, you don't have to look any farther than the Merrimack Valley and what happened in Lawrence. So those are very dear to my heart. And you can still go back to, what are you doing for a child today? What are we doing for a child today? So the air, the water, all of these things are so important. You know, none of what I am doing is going to affect me in my lifetime.
North Adams, Massachusetts mayoral candidate Rachel Branch speaking with our Josh Landes. The election is November 5th. A new 80-foot downtown mural is celebrating Troy's long history. WAMC's Jesse King reports.
This is for the people of Troy. Troy has a rich history of architectural and character people, and it's just a pleasure to incorporate that in the wall. And I hope everyone likes it and enjoys it for many years.
Artist Kevin Clark painted the finishing touches on River Street's Headley building on Friday. Once home to Kluett, Peabody & Co.'s collar manufacturing company, the 1917 building once again sports a facade of red bricks and large windows. A faded sign for the factory's later incarnation, Arrow, splits the mural down the middle. When planning the painting, Clark says he wanted to recreate as much of the building's original character as possible, but otherwise the objective was simple.
Don't suck. Because usually when you do something like this, it lasts for decades. So if it is something I'm not proud of, I have to figure out a way to avoid looking at it for quite a while.
At one point, Kathy Sheehan of the Rensselaer County Historical Society says as many as 7,500 workers, mostly women, fueled the Arrow factory, making detachable men's shirt collars, pajamas, underwear, and more. Hence, the Collar City. Once the factory closed down and Troy fell on hard times, auto dealer John Headley helped modernize and redevelop the space for local businesses, like today's River Street Market. Sheehan points to a figure of Headley painted into the mural's bottom right corner.
Of course, he's the one on the end near the Cadillac, because he is not only he took over his father's Cadillac business and had that right just to the north of this building, but John is the one who had that vision. He really had the vision of Troy when Troy was a little shaky at those years, and he said, no, we're going to do this.
Headley isn't the only notable figure from Troy to make the cut. To his left stands women's rights activist Emma Willard, now remembered at the eponymous girls' school. Author Herman Melville, who called the city home while writing his first two novels, clutches a copy of Moby Dick while leaning on a produce stand. And decked out in stars and stripes, Uncle Sam balances a bushel of apples in the middle of the crowd.
Samuel Wilson, the progenitor of our nation's symbol, his business has started right in Troy. He supplied the beef to the troops during the War of 1812, and John Fitzgerald Kennedy signed it into law that Samuel Wilson is the person who we have based Uncle Sam on, and Troy is the official home.
Also in the mural is former Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute president George Lowe, remembered for his work as a NASA administrator and his contribution to the Apollo project. Theoretical physicist and current RPI president Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson also made the painting. A recipient of the National Medal of Science, Jackson came to the project's unveiling to give her portrait one more stroke of the brush.
Well, I'm excited to be with all of them, to be honest. I mean, to be with such great people, but obviously is a special affinity for George Lowe. But John Hedley was a great, great friend of mine and a great friend of the university. They just told me this week, and so I didn't know, honestly. So the surprise increases the honor, to be honest with you.
The mural was commissioned by real estate corporation First Columbia, which has been steadily redeveloping its Hedley Park Place and Flanagan Square properties into what it calls the Waterfront District since 2006. And Kevin Clark is no stranger to Troy. The new mural stands opposite some of his older projects, including the Toast of the Hudson at Brown's Brewery. Still splattered in paint, Clark said the piece only took a month to complete.
You always want to start from the top and work your way down because of all the spills and all that stuff. I kind of broke it down in weekly quarters, and then you have to have wiggle room in case it rains like yesterday. I would have been done yesterday, but it rained all day, so that's why I still have my paints out and I'm still dressed like this because when this is all over, I have to get back to work.
Clark said his finishing touches were small, reinforced lines and details only he would notice, but he's particularly looking forward to seeing the mural at sunset when the painted bricks take on a glow. You can see photos of the mural and its details at WAMC.org and on WAMC's Instagram page. Reporting from Troy for WAMC, I'm Jesse King.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.